Welcome to SCOTUScast, a project of the Federalist Society for Law and Public Policy Studies. Our contributors join us from around the country to bring you expert commentary on U.S. Supreme Court cases as they are argued and decisions are issued. The Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker.
Thank you for joining us for this post-argument episode of SCOTUScast. I'm your host, Grace Gotchling. On March 2, 2020, the U.S. Supreme Court heard oral argument in Nasrallah v. Barr, a case involving a dispute over whether, notwithstanding Section 1252, the courts of appeals possess jurisdiction to review factual findings underlying denials of withholding and deferral of removal relief. Petitioner Nadal Khalid Nasrallah, a Lebanese citizen, after being convicted of crimes involving moral turpitude which constituted a serious crime, was granted protection from removal of the United States under the Convention Against Torture. Upon appeal to the Board of Immigration Appeals, the case was affirmed in part and reversed in part, deciding to remove Nasrallah. The 11th Circuit denied the petition to hear the case. The Supreme Court ultimately granted cert, however, to determine whether, notwithstanding Section 1252, the courts of appeals possess jurisdiction to review factual findings underlying denials of withholding and deferral of removal relief. And now, to discuss the case, we have Trevor Ezell, adjunct professor at University of Texas School of Law and Texas Assistant Attorney General.
Oral argument and briefing in Nasrallah v. Barr was acronym soup, with a bunch of different statutes flying around. The INA, FARA, IRIRA, AEDPA, the Real ID Act. But this case really boils down to one basic question. Is the denial of relief under the Convention Against Torture an order of removal? Let's unpack why that matters. The story of federal immigration laws over the past 70 years has been congressional attempts to constrict and channel aliens' challenges to immigration decisions in the federal courts. Before the 1950s, an alien could obtain review of an immigration decision largely only in habeas corpus proceedings in district court. But in 1952, Congress provided for review in district court under the APA. In 1961, it provided for review in the courts of appeals under the Hobbs Act. Then we get a spate of legislative changes in the 1990s. In 1996, in AEDPA, Congress provided that no court could review immigration challenges brought by aliens convicted of certain criminal offenses. In that same year, in IRIRA, it provided that no judicial review of an immigration decision is available except in a petition for review in the Court of Appeals. And it confirmed that no court had jurisdiction to review a PFR brought by certain criminal aliens. Just 2 years later, Congress passed federal law to implement the Convention Against Torture after the United States became a signatory, and it provided that a CAT challenge was available only as part of review of a final order of removal. That brings us to the key provision at issue here, 8 U.S.C. Section 1252A2C. It provides that no court has jurisdiction to review any final order of removal for criminal aliens. And that provision is what the parties refer to as the criminal alien bar. Petitioner says that combining the criminal alien bar with a statutory definition shows that the Court of Appeals was wrong to conclude that it lacked jurisdiction to entertain his CAT claim. He points to a provision in AEDPA that defines order of deportation as an order concluding that an alien is deportable or ordering deportation. And he says that ordering CAT relief does neither of those things. His CAT claim, therefore, falls outside of the criminal alien bar. But in the event the court finds the statutes ambiguous, he asks it to fall back on the presumption in favor of judicial review. The government responds by arguing that the term order of removal has a specialized meaning in the immigration context, and it points to the Supreme Court's decision in 1963 in Foti, which held that all determinations made in the underlying administrative proceedings are part and parcel of the final order of removal. It also points to neighboring statutory provisions that support that reading. Principally, it relies on the zipper clause, section 1252b9, which says that judicial review of all questions arising from removal proceedings are available only in review of a final order. FARA, it says, provides that CAT review is available only as part of review of a final order of removal. And of course, 1252A4 says that review of a CAT claim must be, quote, in accordance with Section 1252, which in turn contains the criminal alien bar. So how did those arguments fare at oral argument? I think there were four key takeaways. First, the justices clearly disagreed about the statutory text and how these provisions interact. Justice Alito asked most of the questions to petitioner's counsel, and he latched onto the government's arguments about how neighboring provisions that provide the governing framework for judicial review suggest that CAT claims do come within the criminal alien bar. First, he noted that the zipper clause provides a merger principle. By channeling all underlying challenges into one petition for review from a final order of removal, the statute suggests that all underlying determinations become part of the final order of removal that gets brought to the Court of Appeals. If that's right, he noted that petitioner's argument might be self-defeating. In other words, because federal law provides that judicial review is available only in a PFR of a final order of removal, if petitioner succeeds in dissociating his CAT claim from the final removal order, then it might be that there's no court anywhere that can review his CAT claim. On the other side, Justice Gorsuch thought this was a clear statutory interpretation case that favored petitioner. He read the definitional provision and the criminal alien bar to suggest that the alien bar applied only to final orders of removal. And because a CAT claim neither found the alien deportable nor ordered his deportation, the two determinations are discrete things, even though combined in a single proceeding, and the jurisdictional bar applies only to one of them. Justice Breyer had questions for both sides along both of those lines. He questioned the petitioner's counsel about the merger principle that the neighboring statutory provision suggested, and he also questioned the government about the possibility that the merger principle did not foreclose the reality that the determination on CAT relief and on removability nevertheless remain discrete things. As an analogy, he pointed to federal courts of appeals' ability to review final judgments under 1291. He noted that although the various decisions the district court makes ultimately merge into a final judgment that comes up to the Court of Appeals, courts of appeals nevertheless review the discrete issues contained in that judgment, and they often do under different standards of review. The next big takeaway from the oral argument was the justices' discussion of how to deal with prior precedent. Both Justice Kagan and Justice Kavanaugh had questions on that front. Justice Kavanaugh asked petitioner's counsel how he dealt with the language in FODI that suggested an order of removal did in fact include decisions denying CAT relief. Petitioner's counsel responded that although FODI's language swept broadly, the holding in that case applied only to decisions which necessarily would impugn the order of removal. And because a decision granting CAT relief would not necessarily undercut the federal government's decision finding that an alien was removable and ordering that he be removed, it therefore fell outside of the actual holding in FODI. Justice Kagan echoed this theme in her questions to the government when she suggested that the critical question is whether the challenge that a petitioner seeks to bring is something upon which the order of removal is contingent. And she suggested that the denial of CAT relief is not a basis upon which the order of removal rises or falls. Because CAT relief simply says that the federal government may not remove an alien to a specific country, it doesn't necessarily say anything about whether the alien is removable and whether he shall be removed elsewhere. A third takeaway was the justices' discussion, or the parties' discussion, of separation of powers principles. Petitioner asks the court to fall back on the presumption in favor of judicial review, a separation of powers principle that runs in favor of the judiciary. The government, meanwhile, asked the court to respect the Constitution's decision to grant Congress power to regulate the jurisdiction of inferior federal courts, a separation of powers principle that runs in favor of the legislature. Justice Breyer was the only justice who asked questions about the presumption in favor of reviewability, which suggests that he thinks the statutory argument is a close one. And the final takeaway is that whatever the Supreme Court does in Nasrallah versus Barr may not matter all that much. And that's because even if the criminal alien bar applies to cat claims like Nasrallah's, it's only as powerful as the statutory provisions that define the scope of the jurisdictional bar. The Real ID Act in 2005 provides that notwithstanding the jurisdictional bar, courts of appeals do have jurisdiction to entertain a PFR raising constitutional claims or questions of law raised in accordance with Section 1252. And in Guerrero-Lasprilla, just 2 months ago, the Supreme Court concluded that the phrase questions of law in this narrow jurisdictional carve-out includes mixed questions of law, in fact. Accordingly, the criminal alien bar would be left to apply only to pure questions of fact. And that might mean that even if Nasrallah's cat claim is subject to the bar under 1252, if the gravamen of his argument is a mixed question of law and fact, the Real ID Act may nevertheless save it for review in the Court of Appeals. At the end of the day, I suspect the government has an uphill battle in this case, and the court will likely find that cat claims are not subject to the criminal alien bar.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. SCOTUSCast is a project of the Federalist Society, a not-for-profit educational organization of conservative and libertarian law students, law professors, and lawyers, founded upon the principles that the state exists to preserve freedom, that the separation of governmental powers is central to our Constitution, and that it is emphatically the province and duty of the judiciary to say what the law is, not what it should be. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast series, including SCOTUSCast and Practice Group Podcasts, on iTunes or Google Play. For an archive of past podcasts, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at fedsoc.org/multimedia. That's fedsoc.org/multimedia.
This has been a FedSoc audio production.